I went to college with a guy who was an English major, and he pronounced the word thus, thuzz.
Thuzz.
Thuzz. We could never thuzz. Get him to change it.
We'll never be together.
Thuzz. Will and that was the guy I was in love with, so okay. He probably did say thuzz. We'll never be together.
Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication, and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
Hello, this is an Acquired Taste podcast. I'm Kathleen, your pumpkin carving, scrambled eggs addicted, Jennifer Aniston follower friend.
She just joined Instagram.
She did.
And I'm Bethany, your Tylenol taking, salad bar grazing, almost done reading The Goldfinch friend.
And every week, Bethany and I meet up to discuss our lives, what's weird in the world, and we invite you to join us. This week, we're talking about...
Are you the victim of an emotional vampire, or are you... the emotional vampire.
Well, I would like to be a victim of an emotional vampire.
No, you would not.
Is he or she sexy?
Maybe, but they'll leave you feeling emotionally depleted.
Mm.
I guarantee you're the victim of an emotional vampire.
But will they make sweet love to me, more importantly?
That's the worst part about it.
Are they so good looking that they glitter in the sun?
No.
Because,
never.
Like, I would be okay with that.
Never. What about you? What are you talking about?
This week, I'm talking about doomsday preppers.
Oh my gosh, I love this idea.
And everything that you need to know to be prepared in case there's a disaster coming.
Yes.
And Bethany, I asked you to put together a list of what you would put in your prepper's kit.
I did. And I followed your instructions. Should I tell you now?
No.
Okay, we'll hold off.
Hold off.
You poor thing. You got caught in the rain on the way here.
I did. I'm a little bit wet.
Your face is glistening and your hair is soaked.
Yes, it is.
I'm really sorry that you got hit by that.
Oh, it's okay. A little rain won't hurt you.
No, it won't.
I mean, I am a witch, but not that type of witch. I'm the good kind.
Yeah.
Bring. Have you heard about this new thing that Airbnb is doing?
No, what's that?
It's called the Airbnb Animal Experience.
What's that?
So obviously this is for people like you and me because we're animal lovers. What you do is you go and you stay in an Airbnb where there's some sort of animal experience.
Like a petting zoo?
Yeah, kind of like that. So there's 1,000 experiences co-hosted by over 300 species and their human advocates. And guests can now do things like paddleboard with corgis, kayak with conservationists, learn alongside urban beekeepers, or skateboard with world record winning bulldogs.
Can we go back to corgis that are paddleboarding?
Corgi butts.
Corgis supposed to paddleboard?
Corgi butts, little corgi butts.
Little corgi butts on corgi a butts. Paddleboard.
I freaking love corgis. They're so cute.
They're the cutest of the dog species. Fight me. They have tiny legs and long bodies.
I didn't become obsessed with them until my brother started dating a vet. And then I started like learning about these different types of dogs.
Yeah.
Before then, all dogs to me were just dogs.
Oh, no, they're so different.
All dogs go to heaven and all dogs look alike.
Not so much. Little corgis. Is it true you can also rent the Goodyear blimp now as an Airbnb?
Can you?
I think so.
See, I love Airbnb. I've only had good experiences with Airbnb, but I've never done one of their really unique things like staying in a treehouse.
No,
or
I
like
haven't either.
Staying underwater.
Yeah, the closest I ever came, I've only done it once, maybe
that's it?
Twice.
Really?
It weirds me out because you don't know what people are putting in their showers.
Or like their cameras
yeah,
and stuff
exactly.
like that.
I don't like...
I look for little blinking red lights.
I find it really unsettling. Dennis and I stayed in one when we went to that wedding in San Francisco and mm-hmm. like the host put us in an Airbnb.
Oh, that's right. You had that really strange experience with the woman who had naked pictures of herself all over there.
Posted nude photos of herself everywhere.
I forgot about that.
Full frontal nudity. I just get really unsettled with the idea that you're in someone's space. There are no government regulations about what they can or can't put in there.
Yeah.
And they just found at the Mall of America in Minnesota, they found that this guy had put, I guess, like video cameras in various changing rooms at like Abercrombie and Fitch.
Are you kidding me?
And then connected to them through his phone and was able to log in and watch. So I'm like, I don't trust people.
How does that happen?
Employees got suspicious, but I mean, I heard someone who told me, so I may be getting these facts wrong, but apparently, he like... made his way into these fitting rooms and put in these things that looked sort of just like, I don't know. They just looked like, a utility box that you would have.
I suspect that you could go on the internet and get all sorts of handy little things.
Yep. So they caught him, luckily. But that's why I don't trust Airbnbs. Unless it's, you know, a petting zoo. If it's a petting zoo, I'm absolutely going to do it.
You're going to surfboard with some corgis.
I'm worried about the corgis.
Luckily for me, I never take my clothes off. I'm a never nude, yes. So I don't have to run the risk of ever being videotaped naked.
Yeah, no, it's true. Is it jean shorts that you always wear?
Yeah, jean shorts.
That's good for you, mm-hmm. though. Yeah. You're still looking very chic despite the fact that it is super rainy out.
Thank you. You know, I'm wearing a denim jacket, yeah. and it's starting to smell a little, you know, that sour
yep.
smell?
Yep.
I think I need to soak it in vinegar.
The guy who invented, not jeans, but like one guy who owns some denim company said you just put them in the freezer. Mm. But that's stupid and dumb and doesn't seem like a good way to wash your jeans.
That's how I do it with my yoga pants too. And like the hot yoga pants, they collect so much bacteria.
Yeah.
Yeah, when they start to smell a little sour, you soak them in some white vinegar.
Yeah. There's a hot yoga place at my therapist's office, like the floor below.
That makes a lot of sense to yeah. have those two things in the same building.
Yeah. And the elevator is often broken because it's a very old building. So I have to go down the stairs and I have to hold my breath when I go down. And they're just the utility stairs. It's the stairs, you know, in like the side
yes.
like area.
Yeah.
It smells and it's so humid, but it reeks.
So I'm afraid to go to any other yoga studio that's not my own because my own yoga studio is not pretentious.
Oh, that's nice.
You know, I had a friend the other day actually admit to me that she joined a new yoga studio. It was like yoga and Pilates, and she had to buy new workout clothing so she looked as chic as the other patrons that went there.
That's so, and there's so much pressure. No.
I show up in like my dirty t-shirts and like my cutoff tanks.
Yeah.
And I like that. So at least my yoga studio, I know that there's no one pretentious. Like you yeah. can kind of wear whatever you want. But yeah. Some of those studios, the women are wearing black.
You know what? It's really interesting. I was just thinking about that you bring that up because like my aerial studio, my aerial school, it's so far away from me and it's really hard to get there. It's a full day of travel for me to go to class.
Yeah.
And I've often thought I should probably also take classes someplace closer, but I don't want to because I don't know the culture of the other schools.
Yeah. And a lot of times, especially like in New York City, they're super pretentious.
Yeah. Like I went to one, it was my same aerial school, but it was a different location. And there was another school that taught in the same gym. So it was a different instructor. And she was sort of like a Russian ballet instructor where she was like, and climb and invert and switch and blah. And I can't do that yet.
Yeah.
And so if someone was snapping their fingers at me, I would absolutely panic and feel like a moron because I can't do it.
Snapping the fingers at me doesn't work. That's the point when I leave class. And I have left spin class before when the teachers have clapped in my face.
Don't clap in my face.
No.
This is why we talk about like open fit. Do stuff in your own house. If I could rig up an aerial sling system in my own house, I would do it. But they say never rig. This is a life lesson. Uh-huh. Never rig an aerial sling system or an aerial system in your own house because you will think, A, you don't have the sturdiness for it. But B, you will get tipsy one night. You'll think you're not as drunk as you are. You'll try to climb. You'll try to do something.
And you'll
hurt yourself.
Oh.
Which is super true.
I never thought about that.
Yeah.
Same goes for people with rock walls in their home.
Don't ever get a rock wall in your home unless you're sober.
Same thing goes for people with movie theaters in their home.
You'll watch a movie you didn't intend to watch. My nose keeps hitting this microphone and I don't know. You can't hear it, but it's like wiping the makeup off my nose.
I know. I know. Oh, speaking of noses.
Yeah.
Have you heard of this thing that are like acne patches? These little patches that you put on breakouts overnight or during the day or something. Okay. Have you heard of them?
No.
Okay, hang on.
Is it like using toothpaste?
Yeah, kind of. Like if you're going to target a big pimple.
Yeah.
I want to get this terminology right. Give me a second.
Okay.
So they're called hydrocolloid patches.
Hydrocolloid. It sounds like...
And it's kind of like the same material, you know, a blister Band-Aid, thicker Band-Aid. Okay. So now they're making patches for pimples. And apparently the material pulls liquid out of your pimple.
Gross and amazing.
Like dries it out very quickly. So I tried a brand last night that I didn't love. You can check it out on my Insta story. It's kind of like an interesting experiment. But I'm part of the acne board on Reddit.
What?
Yeah. Do you know there's an acne subgroup on Reddit? And it's like my favorite thing. I wake up every day to check to see how people's acne is doing.
Wait, you've never told me this.
Yeah. And so these patches are like a big topic on that board.
What are they called again?
Hydrocolloid patches for acne. So I went on Sephora to see like what the high end version of these patches were.
Yeah.
Bethany, they have some called dart patches with little freaking spikes on the inside of the patch, and the spikes penetrate the pimple, inject medicine into the pimple, and then you just leave it on your face overnight.
Does it hurt?
I don't know. Someone on the Reddit thread said that it felt like a pinprick at first, and then she didn't feel it for the rest of the night.
Reviewed. This is from Cosmo, our favorite hard-hitting news site.
Yes.
I tried the Killa cystic acne patches and OMG.
Yes. I'm telling you, this is a thing that more people need to know about, acne patches.
She said, Zit Sticka.
That must be a brand.
Treats unpopped underground zits using itty-bitty medication-filled micro darts.
Yes. Dart patches.
The patch is called Killa. It looks like a regular hydrocolloid bandage, but its sticky surface is covered with 24 dissolvable micro darts that gently penetrate the stratum, corneum, and epidermis to push medication into your pimple. Holy Hannah.
Isn't that crazy? So I've been stress picking at my face. I should throw it away. You know that metal extractor? You know, like the...
Yeah, I have one.
I have one of those. And whenever I get stressed out / bored / just in the bathroom and I have extra time,
yeah,
I really go to town on my face. Now I'm broken out all over my nose, all over my chin.
It stimulates more.
And they're really big and painful. So I'm going to... The patch I tried last night was just... I don't even want to say the name of the brand. It was just from the drugstore. It didn't work. I'm going to go to Sephora after this podcast and try those dark patches.
Whatever makeup you use is fantastic because I don't see any breakouts on your face right now.
You're very kind. You're very kind.
I'm not. I'm an asshole, but your face looks amazing. If you've used these, gentle listener, let us know because I definitely want to know what they're like.
Hashtag game changer.
Hashtag game changer. I also didn't know you were on this board.
Have you carved your pumpkin for the season yet?
I seldom do.
Bethany.
I know. Where do I put it? I don't have a place to put it. I don't have a front stoop.
You have a kitchen in your apart. I've been in your apartment when you turn the lights down.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have like some candles and some twinkle lights on and stuff. Yeah. That's when you light your candle.
Okay. Maybe
or that's when you light your pumpkin rather.
Maybe if we're able to have my mother and I are able to have you and Neil deGrasse boyfriend, which is now what I'm going to call your husband.
Neil deGrasse boyfriend
and my boyfriend dentist over.
Yeah, Dinas.
Dinas the dentist and Neil deGrasse boyfriend. We will carve pumpkins or I'll carve pumpkins, whatever.
Yeah. Or you can just paint pumpkins or whatever.
I want to carve them. If I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to bullshit around.
Do it upright. Yeah. I think I'm going to carve like a whole bunch this year.
Yeah.
And then on Halloween, I'm going to sit on my stoop and pray that children come and visit. I usually don't get visitors, but.
A good way to freak children out is to sit on a stoop and wait for them. I would say that's probably not going to work.
Oh, man. Come here, kitties. I have candy.
Come here, children. Kathleen.
Hello.
Fall is coming, and with the changing of the leaves should also come a changing of the you, Kathleen. Now is the time to start working out because guess what? When it's New Year's Day and everyone is at the gym panicking, you are going to feel so proud of yourself because you started early.
Yeah.
And you're already in a routine that you love. And it is because of Open Fit.
So sculpt your body in the convenience of your own home, no eyes on you. And that's how I choose to live my life.
Open Fit is a super simple streaming service. It allows you to work out from the comfort of your living room in as little as 10 minutes a day, no eyes on you, like Kathleen said. And they have tons of different workouts and amazing trainers like Andrea Rogers, founder of the worldwide sensation Extend Bar, or the newest workout, Rough Around the Edges, with six of the most badass stunt women in the business.
I don't like going to the gym because I always feel pressure when there are people around. I feel like they're watching me and they're judging me. So OpenFit works for me on all levels. And it doesn't matter what fitness level you're at, OpenFit has a class for you.
Yes.
Your smartphone, your TV, your Roku. OpenFit is basically everywhere that you are.
So OpenFit has changed the way we work out. Texting our code TASTE to the number 303030, you can join us on a fitness journey personalized just for you.
Right now, during the OpenFit 30-day challenge, our listeners will get a special extended 30-day free trial membership to OpenFit when you text TASTE, T-A-S-T-E, to 303030.
You're going to get full access to OpenFit, all the workouts and nutrition information totally free. So again, just text the word TASTE to the numbers 303030. Standard message and data rates may apply.
All right, Bethany.
Yes.
Have you heard of this crazy, crazy-ass story coming out of the Netherlands?
Which one?
There more than one?
I don't know.
Okay,
probably
so
not.
It just broke recently, yesterday or today. A Dutch family of seven waiting for the end of time were discovered living in a farmhouse.
That's right. Because Kimmy Schmidt was trending yesterday on Twitter, and this is why.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
I only read
That's hilarious.
The title of the article, but yeah. I didn't click on it.
So I'll put my sources in our show notes, but yeah. CBS News, BBC, People.com. Okay, so Dutch police discovered a family of seven living in a farmhouse basement waiting for the world to end.
When was it supposed to end?
The family spent 9 years on the farm, and they were discovered by police after a young adult male from the family walked into a bar, a nearby bar,
which is the setup for a joke,
ordered 5 beers, drank all of them, and then told the bartender that he was a runaway and he needed help.
What the hell?
So police found a man, 58 years old, and six young adults, ages 18 to 25, living in the locked farmhouse. They had had no contact with the outside world for 9 freaking years.
What in the hell?
So the bar owner told police that the 25-year-old had long hair. He was sort of disheveled, a dirty beard. He wore old clothes. He looked confused. And he said that he had never been to school and he hadn't been to a barber in 9 years.
Wait, did they say how old he was?
He was 25.
25.
He was the oldest of the young adults.
Oh, my gosh.
He also said that he had brothers and sisters who lived at the farm, and he said he was the oldest and he wanted to end the way that they were living. So officers visited the remote farmhouse and they carried out a search, and they discovered a hidden staircase behind a cupboard in the living room. And it led down to a secret room where the family lived.
Holy cow.
Now, it's not clear if the 58-year-old man, sort of like the head of all of this, is the father of all the children. But they're saying his name is Josef. Josef B. Just the last name is one letter.
Holy cow.
He's originally from Austria. Neighbors told Dutch media that they had only ever seen one man on the farm. No children, and that there had been a couple animals, you know, on the ground, geese, a dog, a goat, and they had a big vegetable farm. The local postman said that he had never even once delivered a letter there.
Whoa. So, like, no one knew they were there,
No one knew that they were there. The mayor of the town where this farm is, in a press conference, he said that he believes that the mother had passed away. You know, that's what the family was saying. And it's unclear exactly how this came to be and what their thinking was.
Holy cow.
Drone images of the farm revealed a large vegetable garden, a cluster of brightly colored buildings. You know, it's the Netherlands. They like to paint their buildings.
They love color.
And the compound was mostly obscured by trees and a fence that outlined the property.
Those poor children.
Yeah, they were not at all registered. Like, the government didn't have any record of those children living in the country.
God bless this dude who got out. I wonder how he got out.
And how did he know about beer?
Right? I know. First, I love that he had five beers first.
And then he was ready to spill.
And he was ready to go. Like, I wonder if the dude in charge, the dude in his 50s, said to the 20-something, like, now you're also a man, or, yeah, you know, here are the secrets. Yep. I haven't told you, like, there's
the
things
key
outside. Yeah, and the dude was like, oh, crap, I'm getting out.
So prepping. Doomsday prepping. This is not something I know enough about. Essentially, it's like insurance for tough times, yeah, right?
Yes.
Upon researching what we were going to talk about today, I joined the Preppers group on Reddit.
Kathleen, you're amazing.
Which I suspect will come into regular rotation for me.
Listen, I know a little bit about Doomsday Preppers. I know they scare me.
Yeah.
But I also know that they're going to come in real handy someday, probably.
Of course they're going to come in real handy.
Like, they're scary people who you also want on your side.
My friends joke that when we go on vacation, if they've forgotten something, don't worry, Kathleen has it.
You do.
Like, that's like the byline. Don't worry, Kathleen has it.
That's more like you're a really good personal assistant versus a doomsday prepper.
So popularmechanics.com has this article, 10 survival skills you need to know.
I love this so much.
Bethany, do you know how to barricade your house?
No.
Do you know how to orient a map?
No.
Do you know how to make clean water?
No.
You dead. You dead.
I dead.
Okay. So step number one, popularmechanics.com. You need to know how to signal for help.
Flares.
You need to carry a whistle on you. Okay. And this is how it goes. Human ears can hear this pattern better than any other pattern. 1, 2, 3, pause. So you're blowing for quite a long time.
Wah.
Yep. over and over and over again.
Holy cow.
This is the most recognizable length of period of time for sound to the human ear. Mirrors are important. So okay. You need to carry a little mirror so you can signal with light, right?
I have many mirrors. I'm very vain.
And brightly colored construction tape. You know, like the warning tape.
Yeah.
For crimes.
Yeah.
Keep away crime scene. They say that if you are going to be a true prepper, you need to get some of that tape.
Why? What's the tape for?
Because you like cover your house in it. You cover your car in it. Someone's flying over in a helicopter. They can see your car.
Oh, so it's like it's to signal.
Yeah. You know, this is crazy. I discovered that there are survival schools out there. Bethany, you can go and take classes at survival schools. And there's more than one school out there.
Wait. So first we have to take a Bob Ross painting class taught by David Arquette.
Uh-huh.
And then we have to take a doomsday prepper class.
So there's a school in California called the California Survival Training School. You can follow them on Instagram at @survival_expert.
Doing it now.
They have multiple locations in California. These are the types of classes you can take. The apothecary, healing with wild plants.
Oh, very witchy.
You can also take basic map and compass certification.
Hard, good to know.
And also family bushcraft weekend, where you learn how to forage, use stones as tools, and make friction fire.
This is so good.
This actually sounds something like something I'd want to do.
I would stay outside for this. I would camp for this.
Number two, you need to know how to orient a map.
Okay, I don't even know what that means.
Align north on your compass on the map's vertical grid lines. Rotate the map and compass together until the needle reaches north. It's essentially like if you have a map and a compass, you'll figure it out.
Okay. I have a compass on my iPhone. Does that count?
Yeah. I don't know. I guess. You need backup batteries.
Okay.
How to turn your car into a generator. Do you know how to do that?
No.
Car electricity runs on a direct current. You know, but almost everything else is an alternating current.
Yeah.
So you need an inverter.
Okay. Can I get that at my local guitar center?
I'm sure you can. Some cars have them built in, but you can get one at a store for less than $40.
Good.
There you go. Use clamps to attach the inverter directly to your car, blah, 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 blah.
And then you can charge your phone.
Then you can charge your phone, turn on your TV, power a laptop, that kind of thing.
Great.
Do you know how to make fire with a gum wrapper and a AA battery? That's one of the essential survival skills. Bethany, you can make fire with a gum wrapper and a AA battery.
How?
One. Fold an open wrapper in half widthwise. Step number two, you're going to fully cut diagonally from the open side to the almost edge of the folded side.
Okay.
So unfolded, the two ends should be able to make wide triangles and the connecting portion as narrow as possible.
Okay.
You got to Google it. You need like an image. You need to hit the goose.
Okay.
Then you hold the foil on each opposite side of the battery terminals and the middle section will burst into flames.
Shut the fuck up.
Have your Tinder ready to go. And not the dating Tinder, you know, like Fire Kindle.
You want to swipe right on fire.
Do you know how to swim a long distance in freezing water?
No.
Yeah, that's what I suspected. Because you don't know how to do anything, apparently.
Shut the fuck up.
Number one, you must control your breathing and relax. Even though the water is freezing and you feel like there's a foot on your chest.
There isn't.
Panicking wastes energy.
Yeah, I don't have any energy to waste because I'm floating in ice cold water.
Keep breathing. Keep moving. Even if you're not making any progress, as soon as you stop, you lose precious body heat.
Okay, I'm going to keep going.
Number three, you got to flex your hands.
Flex, an early sign
of hypothermia is claw hands, like when you can't move your fingers.
Nope, going to keep flexing.
We've all been there, like even just on a cold day when you forget your gloves, right? So keep, Bethany and I wish you could see this gentle listener right now.
It's like we're massaging breasts. Right in front of us.
You can last a long time if you do this. So flex your fingers
flex.
After every stroke, get the blood flowing again.
Flex. Okay.
You need to know how to barricade your home.
All right. Can I guess how to do that?
From the inside out. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm going to put things up against the windows.
Uh-huh.
Because windows, glass, that is a point, is a weak point.
Yep.
I'm going to put things up against doorknobs.
Yes.
To barricade so people can't get in through doorknobs.
You're actually quite right.
Thank you. I am going to also, any sort of doors that open in, heavy things up against those.
Yeah.
What else? How did I do?
You did, you know what? You got like 90%, right?
Yes.
So when bands of when bands of thieves start roaming the streets.
No, I'm not editing, by the way. We're keeping that in.
How are you going to keep them out?
Marauders? Is that the word? Marauders.
Marauders.
Yeah.
Is that a word?
Yeah. Means thieves.
Well, that's what I said. Thieves.
Who doesn't know anything now?
Assuming that these thieves and these attackers don't have something that can, you know, like a battering ram, like a big log.
Yeah.
To push your door down.
Yeah.
Furniture, covering the window.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff is going to help.
Okay, cool.
If you have any plywood,
yeah,
nail it into the wood around your window.
Okay, cool.
That'll help.
Reinforce.
Yeah, reinforce. Cool. Yeah.
Use screws, not nails if you can. Yeah. Screws will hold tight.
Oh, good. You know what? You do know.
Nails push out. Screws stay in.
So wildfire season. Yeah. That is unfortunately something that a lot of people have to deal with. It's incredibly scary. Before the season, dried grass and leaves, clean them up.
Oh, yeah.
Fences and dried vegetation, you know, that's like a great place for fires to start
yeah, they
and
love
to grow.
That. Yeah.
Ugh. And some people try this and it doesn't work. I thought that was kind of interesting. Some people will hose their homes down.
Yes, I've heard of that.
They're yeah. saying it doesn't work.
Oh.
Jonathan Cox, he's a California Department of Forestry and Fire Protection.
Yeah.
He says that with huge embers coming down on your house, a little bit of water on the roof is not really going to do anything.
So don't water your house.
Don't water your house. Okay. So if you need to survive in a fire, this is what you do.
Okay.
If the fire is around you and you can't escape and you don't have many options, if there's a pool or a pond nearby, jump in and try and wait it out there.
I mean, yeah, obviously, okay. But what if there's not?
Otherwise, if you have time, dig a trench that's like 2 or 3 feet deep
okay.
and long enough for you to lie in, soak a blanket in water, wrap it around yourself, lie down in the trench.
Holy crap, this is scary.
It's risky, but if there's no pool or pond, that's your second best chance at surviving in wildfire.
Mm-hmm.
All right, what do you do if your feet are cold and wet?
Okay.
Two of the worst combinations.
I rub them with my hands. Rub, 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 mm-hmm. rub, rub. Create heat.
Okay.
If I have a dog with me, the dog instinctively lays on my feet no. and keeps them warm.
Yeah, but then the puppy's losing heat.
No, it's not. It's got a fur coat on.
Okay.
It's a doge.
Yeah, you're kind of right.
I keep wiggling my toes. Wiggle, wiggle, because you got to keep the blood moving. I stomp them. Stamp, stamp, stomp, stamp, stomp, stamp.
Uh-huh. Okay, so you want me to tell you like the best way?
Yeah.
Okay, take your shoes off, put a plastic bag on each foot, then put your feet back in your shoes.
Oh, yeah.
The plastic will capture your body heat.
That makes sense.
And yes, your feet are still going to be wet, but they're going to be warm, and warm is more important. That is why I put latex gloves on my feet in the winter.
Really?
Yes, when I'm going to be outside for extended periods of time. I put latex gloves on my feet. I also put latex gloves on my hands.
That's a really good idea. And you can deliver a baby in
yes.
a pinch.
Yeah, exactly. You could, or you could serve up some food and yeah. still be a sanitary.
Still be in compliance with New York City rules. That's amazing.
All right, what do you do if you lost your can opener?
Okay, crap. I take a hammer. I take the claw side of the hammer.
Okay.
And I pierce.
Yeah.
Pierce, pierce, pierce.
You know what? That's actually not like a bad idea.
Thank you.
But a better idea. Most canned goods consists of 1/16 piece inch of tin sealed over the top of the can. Okay.
Yeah.
Take a brick, rub it back and forth on the rim of the can, and it acts like sandpaper and the top will come open.
Shut up. Mm-hmm. This is so interesting.
So if you have exposed brick in your house or yeah. your apartment or something.
You have exposed can opener.
Very charming, but also you have a built-in can opener.
Look at this whole one accent wall is a can opener.
Oh, goodness gracious. All right. Making clean water. You need like a little water bottle with some pills. I'm not going to get into that.
Then
you can
yeah.
look that up. Look it up. Google it.
Okay. You need to have the pills ahead of time. And it's like specific pills. It's not like prednisone.
There's this guy. His name is Wiley Dufresne.
He's a Dufresne, probably.
Dufresne. Dufresne.
Probably
Dufresne. Wiley Dufresne.
Okay.
He's a Michelin star chef.
Okay.
He's the owner of Dew's Donuts.
Okay.
He's also a prepper.
Oh, God.
And so here's his tip on how to be a reasonable prepper. There are two scenarios in which everyone needs to count on. A, losing power. B, being stranded in your car.
Oh, crap.
Those are like, when there's going to be a serious thing happening,
yeah.
those are like the two positive things that you can count on.
You know
they're not positive. They'll positively happen.
Yes. You can be positive. It's gonna go down. Okay.
So you need an emergency power supply.
Yes.
In your car.
Like a Mophie.
Like a Mophie.
But for your car.
Or like figure out how to turn your car into a generator.
Okay.
Like you need those supplies in there. That's like most important. Number two, you need to be able to survive in your car for a while. So food, blankets.
Coffee.
Food, blankets, coffee, yeah. And had, you know, fresh water supply stuff. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. That's good to know.
Those are like the two things.
Good to know.
Two things.
Also, yeah. May I add?
Yeah.
I would keep in like a flathead screwdriver in there because you never know when you need a tool.
Good
a flathead screwdriver can be made to do many things.
Yes. No, you're quite right.
And if you ever have to like break your window out, pop it with a flathead screwdriver at the base, perpendicular to the flat, to the,
oh.
that's what Oprah taught
yeah,
me.
When your car is sinking in
yeah.
the lake.
Yeah.
Another tip from Redditor say underscore less underscore listen underscore more.
One of your friends?
Yes. Use Amazon to build your prepper list.
Okay.
So you like you can make wish lists on Amazon.
Oh, yeah.
So like as you're starting to research and learn more about the different types of things you need, just go on Amazon and add the stuff to your wish list. When excess funds come in, you can start buying some of the stuff that you need.
Badass.
Uh-huh.
This is so cool.
Bethany, I want to know what's in your
Doomsday
survival kit.
I wasn't entirely sure whether I was... So you said make a list of things you want for the end of the world.
Yeah.
And I wasn't sure if I was going to survive the end of the world or if I wasn't going to survive the end of the world. Okay. So I made two different lists.
Okay, great.
Okay. So if I am going to survive the end of the world, these are the things I need. Number one, coffee. Mm-hmm. Number two, powdered coffee creamer. Because I don't know if I'm going to have any...
Stop. It's the end of the world. You can't just drink your coffee black.
Did you... No.
Bethany.
Come on.
Yeah. You're giving me a look like
if I had time to make a list, I had time to prepare.
You're giving me a look like you're a Sunday school teacher, and I just said, I worship the devil.
I did. Number three, ibuprofen, because eventually the coffee will run out, and that headache is going to be gnarly.
Yeah.
Number four, journals. I'm going to want to keep my feelings.
You're really going to bullet journal and a zombie is coming
after
you. Bullet
journal, I'm going to dictate. I'm going to write long
passages.
Someone's going to find it.
Dear diary,
day 742 on this forsaken planet.
Today, I killed a zombie, and then I made love to a vampire.
I did. It's been a very big day. Five pens to write in that journal. Number six, voice recorder. This might be a podcast someday when they find it.
You know what? I like the way you think.
I'm always looking to create content.
You're a producer at heart.
Number seven, a pillow.
Okay.
Number eight, my baby blanket. I'm going to need comfort.
Oh, that's kind of sweet.
Thank you. Number nine, a hair tie. And number 10, a knife.
Mm.
This is my list if I am going to die with the world.
I'm going to take your knife and turn it into a hatchet.
That's fine.
I'm going to tell you why at the end of my list.
Okay.
My number one, kombucha starter kit.
Okay. Kathleen, you gave me craft for powder coffee creamer and you had kombucha freaking starter kit?
It's slightly alcoholic and good for your gut. Number two, my Rothy sneakers. Because they're washable. So I always have...
clean sneakers.
I always have clean sneakers. Number three, a puzzle piece to remind myself that I'm an important part of the world.
Jesus. Okay. All right.
Number four, my cropped leather motorcycle jacket.
What are you doing?
Versatile, multi-seasonal, durable. Chapstick to keep my lips kissable.
So when you find the other one person who's alive?
A Sharpie so I can leave my mark wherever I go.
Okay.
Like crumbs in the forest.
All right.
A detangling hairbrush.
Yes.
You're more likely to be rescued if you're looking good.
If you're looking fly.
Because the helicopter's going to be like, that girl's fly.
Yeah. That girl is fly.
We're flying and she's fly. My Audible app because I need my stories.
Okay.
My riding boots because they're very stylish and also very sturdy.
Adorable.
Tweezers.
Yeah.
They pluck hairs and they like pluck splinters out of your feet.
Yeah, you can do surgery.
Ginger Altoids, good for nausea.
Yeah.
Very tasty.
Yeah.
And then number 12, I'm going to take the knife off of your list and replace it with a hatchet because a hatchet is more valuable than a knife. And I learned this at outdoorrevival.com.
Okay.
Number one, cutting down trees, chopping firewood.
Yeah.
Can't do that with a knife.
No.
So a hatchet is usually more effective for self-defense because it's longer than a knife. So striking first is crucial in terms of self-defense, right?
Yeah.
When you're trying to be like, get away, attacker.
Get away.
And the length of the hatchet handle is easier for the blade to reach your enemy slash opponent than a knife.
Here's where I'd raise my hand and counter back with a question.
All right.
The problem with a hatchet or anything that you have to swing is that when you wind up, you're opening your torso. So the person can get to you faster, whereas a knife, you can keep close in, keep yourself protected, and stab forward.
You make a good point.
So that's my question.
So you have to start training to not swing your hatchet.
You have to swing your hatchet.
You need to start working on your forearm strength
so you can bunt it.
Just flick.
I think instead of a hatchet, maybe a sword.
Same muscles I use to give HJs. That one really threw her off.
There's snot coming out of your nose. She told me I can't blow my nose.
All right. You can also use a hatchet as a hammer.
Great.
And it's more durable than a knife.
If I had a hatchet,
I'd
hatch it in the morning.
I make hurricane kits to keep in my apartment. Do you?
No.
Yeah. Ginger ale, crackers, water. I've now learned today that these things are all totally useless.
Useless.
But like candle, like I put all my candles.
Yeah, like a good scented candle so you can have a good mood while the world ends.
I put them all in the same box so if the lights go off, you know.
Yeah.
I usually don't have to use this kit, thankfully.
That's a good idea.
When I'm hungover in December, I go into the kit and I eat all the crackers and drink all the ginger ale.
Cry and cry.
Listen, if this is something that interests you, the government is here to give you information.
But we're doing this to escape the government.
Ready.gov. Ready.gov is where you go.
I don't trust
and
it.
And the government will help you prep your doomsday kit.
They want us to think they're helping us prep the doomsday kit.
They've got a lot of information there for wildfires, flooding, storm surges, and mm-hmm. such. They also have games you can play with your children, as Disaster Master and the Build-A-Kit game.
Let's traumatize our kids.
All right.
This is awesome. I'm so excited.
I'm joining the Preppers Club.
I am too. I'm going to buy a hatchet.
The Acquired Taste Preppers Club. It's now a thing.
Let's make a shirt.
Yeah, we should.
Let's make a shirt.
Uh-huh.
Oh my God, we have to become doomsday preppers.
I'm a doomsday prepper now.
This is amazing. We need Acquired Taste hatchets.
Bethany, there's the preppers thing on Reddit is insane.
Okay.
It's insane what people actually talk about.
Please send me some pamphlets and literature.
So I'm on my period right now. Or should I say I have my period?
I've always heard I have my period, but so many people say on it, which I don't understand.
And I'm using my Lola sanitary napkin.
Congratulations.
Or should I say pad?
You can say, you know what?
Say whatever you want.
You say whatever you want. It's your time of the month.
Because when it comes to Lola, they are the products that I choose with the most sensitive area of my body.
Yeah. You know what? The FDA does not require feminine care brands to disclose a list of their ingredients in their feminine care products. So most of them don't. So they might be putting stuff in there like dyes or synthetic ingredients or rat poison or I don't know.
You don't know.
A boot.
But not Lola.
Not Lola.
Lola products are 100% organic cotton with no added chemicals, no fragrances, no synthetics, and no dyes.
They make your month a little bit easier because it's a subscription service and it's totally customizable. So you can choose your mix of products. You can choose your mix of absorbencies, the number of boxes, how often it comes. So you no longer have to be like, oh my gosh, I have my period. Oh my gosh. The nearest Target is nowhere near me, and now what am I going to do?
Yeah, then you're stuck with a wad of toilet paper in your underwear, and that is not comfortable.
Not comfortable.
So Lola offers pads, liners, and two types of tampons, the BPA-free plastic applicator or, you know, the non-applicator tampons.
They also have cleansing wipes that are safe for use anywhere on the body.
They're the first biodegradable all-natural wipe of their kind, perfect for a midday refresh, the gym.
At work.
Before you go to the gynecologist.
Uh-huh.
Before you see your lover.
We love Lola. We know that you'll love Lola. And we're going to get you 30% off because we love you.
30%?
30%!
So for 30% off of your first month subscription, visit mylola.com and enter our code TASTE30 when you subscribe.
Again, to get 30% off your first month subscription, go to mylola.com and enter TASTE30. That's TASTE30 when you subscribe. When I knew I was coming home from surgery, I made sure to put the Brooklinen sheets on because they're the softest and the most comfy.
I feel like they keep me cooler than other mm-hmm. sheets, and they're just so soft. Mm-hmm. Gentle listener.
Hello, gentle listener.
Do yourself a favor. Get yourself a present. You know you need new sheets. You know your sheets are disgusting.
They're gross, dude. Come on.
And Brooklinen is going to change your life. It changed my life.
Yeah. You spend at least a third of your life in sheets, more if you're lucky. You don't want them to be like gross, bad sheets. You want insanely comfortable. And Brooklinen, here's the deal with Brooklinen.
Yeah.
So they were founded in early 2014 by a husband and wife who wanted really beautiful sheets, like those luxury sheets that you get at a really nice hotel, but they didn't want to spend luxury money.
Yeah, I don't have luxury money.
No, who does? So they were the first bedding company that works directly with manufacturers and then directly with customers. That's how they keep their prices low compared to how high quality they are.
They have 35,000 five-star reviews.
I don't have that many.
This podcast doesn't have that many.
Nope.
But Brooklinen sheets do.
Our Brooklinen sheets are the most comfortable sheets we've slept on, and their towels have turned our bathroom into a spa. We could not recommend them more for friends, family, treating yourself to the upgrade you deserve. And because we love them, Brooklinen.com is giving an exclusive offer just for our listeners.
Get 10% off and free shipping when you use our promo code TASTE at Brooklinen.com.
Brooklinen is so confident in their product that all their sheets, comforters, and towels come with a lifetime warranty.
The only way to get 10% off and free shipping is to use our promo code TASTE at brooklinen.com. That's BROOKLINEN.com with the promo code TASTE, TASTE.
Brooklinen. These are the best sheets ever. Ever.
I want to jump through the microphone and say, order Brooklinen sheets.
They're so good. I'm ordering more.
I'm never going back.
No, you can't. It's the worst thing to go back.
To any other brand.
Never go back. Kathleen.
Yes.
Vampires are hot.
Mm.
Emotional vampires are not hot. And there are some people in our lives who are really good for us and you walk away from hanging out with them and you feel great.
Yes.
There are people who you walk away from hanging out with them and you are exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
You feel awful about yourself.
Uh-huh.
You need a nap. You want to binge on like carbs or comfort food.
Don't get married to this person.
No. So those people are emotional vampires.
Oh.
And there are 5 different types, and I am going to teach you about them, how to protect yourself from them, and then how to tell if you are one of these emotional vampires.
You know, you should write the script and send it over to Lauren Michaels at SNL.
Well,
because this would be a great Halloween skit.
Well, they do have
the True Blood parody for emotional vampires.
There's actually a show, What We Do in the Shadows, about, it's like a comedy about vampires,
okay,
but one of them is an emotional vampire.
Oh, very clever.
So it's very clever. Okay, so this is from Psychology Today, mm-hmm, from a woman named Judith Orloff, and she said there are 5 types of emotional vampires. Number 1, the narcissist.
Mm.
So everything is about them. They have an inflated sense of self-importance. They are entitled. They hog the attention and they need constant praise and admiration.
Mm.
These people are dangerous because they don't have empathy and they have a very limited capacity for unconditional love. So if you don't do things their way, they can turn on you really fast.
Borderline sociopaths.
Totally. Yes. So
we all have those in our lives.
Totally have those in our lives.
Met so many of them in college.
Yeah. I know a lot of them. So here's how to protect yourself.
Uh-huh.
Keep your expectations with these people really realistic. These are not going to be your deep emotional connected people.
Not your soulmates.
Nope. They are very limited emotionally. Don't fall in love with them.
Mm.
Don't expect selfless love. Don't expect love without strings attached. It's best to just avoid them in general. But if you have to have one in your life, the best way to communicate is to show them how it will benefit them.
Ow.
And they say that never, ever confide your deepest feelings to them.
You know, those friends you have when you just want to go out and party.
Yes.
And you basically have nothing in common with them.
Yes.
But you know that they're heavy drinkers and that you'll have a good time.
And they're like the life of the party.
Yes.
A lot of times it's one of these because they're really good at drawing attention to themselves and like getting people hyped up. Yes.
And they can easily meet new strangers.
Yes, totally.
Mm.
All right. Number 2 type of emotional vampire.
Okay.
The victim. This person has a poor me attitude. Everything is against them.
Mm.
Anytime you try to offer a solution to them, they're like, yeah, but... They never want to hear how you could fix it or how it could get better.
Oh, there's somebody in my life right now that this is making a lot of sense about.
Emotional vampire. They are sucking you dry.
Yes, and you present them with ways for them to solve their problems.
Totally. And the brighter light you are, the more you attract emotional vampires to you because they can feed off of that.
And they're like, I can't do that because XYZ. And you're like, okay, we'll try this.
Yeah.
Nope, I can't do that because of 1, 2, 3.
Uh-huh, exactly. So here's how to protect yourself.
Yeah.
Set kind but firm limits with the victim. Listen briefly to their complaining, but then say, I love you, but I can only listen for a few minutes unless you want to discuss solutions.
Oh, shoot.
Which I love.
That is firm love.
Uh-huh.
That is a firm tofu and a delicious stir fry.
Yeah, it's soaking up the flavor of the things around it.
Firm.
Firm.
Wow. Can you imagine? What if somebody said that to you? What would you do?
Oh, it would knock me upside the head.
It would.
Uh-huh. Because that will make you realize, holy crap, I'm complaining a lot.
Yes. Uh-huh. Or holy crap, I like need to turn things around.
I love you, but I can only listen for a few minutes unless you want to discuss solutions. If it's a coworker...
Mm-hmm.
You just sympathize. You say, I'll keep having good thoughts for things to work out, and then walk away.
Yeah, because coworkers, they're not really your friend.
Yep. And you can say, like, I'm sure you understand I'm on a deadline. I have to return to work. I'll keep you in my thoughts.
Hmm.
Go with God.
Yeah, go with God. I'm glad your job is not my business.
Yep. And then they say also body language can help. So cross your arms, break eye contact. Those can help enforce like healthy limits.
You know, I've been thinking about body language lately. Do you ever find yourself totally closed off to somebody, even though you don't mean to be?
Totally.
Like you're having a conversation and you're enjoying your time. But meanwhile, you like look down, your arms are crossed and your legs are crossed.
Yeah. It's crazy, right?
Yeah.
And I also find myself like covering my mouth a lot, which is a sign that you don't like what the person is saying to you, which is fascinating.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? My husband covers his mouth a lot.
Man, what are you saying to him?
And then I'm the jerk that has to like pull his hands down so other people can understand what he's saying. Let us see your mouth. Let us hear your words.
All right, number three type.
Yeah.
The controller. These people obsessively try to control you and dictate how you're supposed to be and feel. Everything you do, they have an opinion. Anything you feel, they invalidate those emotions if the emotions don't fit into their own rule book.
For example, I'm sorry you're so upset.
Yes, exactly. Or, you know what you need? That's a controller.
Yeah. Oh, you know what you need?
You know what you need?
A hot bath. And a smack upside the head.
Exactly. Maybe you need to have a stake through your emotional heart. So here's how to protect yourself from a controller emotional vampire. Never try to control a controller. Be healthily assertive, but do not tell them what to do. You can just say, you know what? I value your advice, but I really need to work through this myself. Be confident and then walk away. Don't ever be a victim.
No way. I'm going to control that controller.
Good luck. Good luck controlling the controller. Can't control a controller.
I think I'm a controller.
You might be a little bit. I don't leave hanging out with you exhausted, though. And you never try to tell me what to do.
No. But I think I tell my family what to do.
You may be a controller with your family.
You're feeling in a way you shouldn't be feeling right now.
Yeah, that's never a good thing to say.
You're out of control. You're being emotional and you don't need to be emotional.
Never say, I love you and I would smack you if you told me that I'm being emotional.
I don't think I've ever said that to anyone with my mouth, but I have said it to someone with my eyes.
Well, that's fair. All right, number four, the constant talker. I'd never heard of this one before and it's fascinating, but it's true. These people talk all the time. They don't care about your feelings. They only care about themselves.
Oh!
So you may wait for an opening to get a word in edgewise, but it never comes.
Yep.
Or they might get super close to you physically that they're practically breathing on you, and every time you try to move away, they get closer. So here's how to protect yourself from the constant talker.
Yeah.
They don't pay attention to nonverbal cues. Crossing your arms isn't going to work. Huh. You have to say something. You have to interrupt them. It's going to feel rude, but there is nothing else you can do. So you listen for a few minutes, and then you politely say, you know what, I hate to interrupt, but I have to talk to these other people, or I have to get to an appointment, I have to go to the bathroom, and leave. If it's a family member, you politely say, I'd love it if you allowed me some time to talk so I can add to the conversation.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit.
She says, if you say this neutrally, it can be better heard. So don't say it sarcastically. Just like say it.
So don't say like, hey, shut the F up.
Be nice if I could say something and add to the conversation, but you say it like very matter of fact.
Ask me something about myself, you a-hole.
Totally. By the way, I just watched season 2 of Fleabag.
Oh, you know what? I keep hearing about Fleabag. My husband watched it and without me, jerk.
Oh.
And he's like, you would love it. You need to watch it.
Season 2 is amazing.
She hosted SNL recently.
She's so wonderful.
Yeah.
But she at one point does say, I think in like this episode 1 of season 2, she's like, no one's asked me about myself yet. It's been like 45 minutes. No one's asked me about myself yet.
So I was hanging out. I want to say like maybe 6 months ago. I was hanging out with a friend and... What's the fourth one that you just went through?
The constant talker.
Yeah, the constant talker.
Yeah.
This friend is definitely a constant talker.
Yeah.
And I was hanging out with this person for at least an hour before I could even get a word in. And man, we were riding on a train together and this person was like, it was all about this person's life. And
was it Doug?
No, it wasn't Doug.
I always ask if it's Doug. Because that's the friend I know.
And I just was sitting there and I was like, oh, I have to ghost this person. I tried to ghost them because the constant talking really drove me crazy. And I ended up not being able to ghost them after all, but I'm still trying.
I have a friend that I ghosted because we would get together and she would monologue for an hour.
Yeah.
And it was always problems. So she was a victim and a constant talker. And I would try to offer solutions and she would be like, yeah, but... Uh-huh. And then she would say like, oh, I haven't asked you anything. How are you? And I would start to talk and she would interrupt me.
Here's the thing about constant talkers. They're rarely talking about creative ideas.
No, they're not talking about anything good.
And cool books.
No.
And cool podcasts. They're only ever talking about themselves or other people.
Yep.
And that is what drives me absolutely insane. When I sit down with a friend to have a conversation, I want to know like the latest awesome podcast that they listen to or like what they're reading right now or this interesting article that they just read online. I don't want to hear about like your sister's cousin's neighbor's drama. I don't care.
I only care if I know the other person's drama and it's juicy. Mm-hmm. But then I do want to get to like other things.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, number five type of emotional vampire, the drama queen. These people take small incidents and turn them into off the chart dramas. They're constantly almost dying, for example. And when they leave, you feel tired and used.
Yeah, I know one.
I know one too. Is it me?
Yeah, it's definitely you. I'm just joking.
Okay, how to protect yourself from the drama queen.
Okay.
A drama queen cannot draw energy from someone who's even keel. So stay calm. Take a few deep breaths.
That may be the best advice I've ever heard.
It's amazing. I've tried it. It works.
Stay if someone's like, even keeled.
Oh my God, can you tell? This thing just happened. Aren't you? Isn't that insane? Oh, that's crazy.
Oh, wow.
Oh, it just like sucks the air right out of their balloon. You also set kind but firm limits. You say like, I know that like your car got towed for the 15th time, but it's really important that you be on time, you know, for whatever. Like, or it's really important that, you know, the party starts
well,
at 7.
Now you're talking about me because I'm late not, to record this podcast. That's why I'm changing. Every week.
So I was trying to change what I was saying. I was like, she's going to think it's about her.
Note taken, Bethany. Note taken.
It's fine. It's fine. Okay, so now you're wondering, but am I an emotional vampire, Bethany? And I'm going to tell you if you are or not.
Okay.
You ready to take a quiz?
I think I am.
All right. I want you to keep track of how many yeses you have. Mm-hmm. Number one, do people avoid you or glaze over during a conversation? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay.
Sure.
Are you self-obsessed?
Yes.
I am too. Are you often negative?
Yes.
I am too. Do you gossip or badmouth people?
Yes.
Crap. Are you critical or controlling?
Both. No,
it was yes or no, but that's okay. That's a yes. I don't think I am, but maybe I am. Are you a drama queen or king?
Absolutely.
Am I a drama queen or king?
I have my moments, I'll tell you.
Do I?
Sure you do.
Five. Okay. Do you corner people and tell them your whole life story?
No, that's the one thing I don't do.
I do, but it's out of anxiety because I don't know what else to talk about. And are you in an emotional black hole but won't get help?
Yes.
No.
No, I get help.
Okay.
I'm going to cross off that yes.
How many did you get?
I had six.
Okay. I got five. So six. You are showing strong emotional vampire behaviors.
Yep. My teeth are very pointy.
You may ask your loved ones if they feel drained by a specific behavior, such as being negative, but being unwilling to get help. Seriously consider their suggestions about how to improve your communication. Be compassionate with yourself all along the way. I got a five. You are showing moderate, strong emotional vampire behaviors. You may ask your loved ones if they feel drained by you.
I think we both need a really refreshing cup of blood right now because we are both vampires.
I will put this quiz in the show notes so you can take it for yourself.
I think the fact that we have the awareness to admit some of these things about ourselves shows that we are not emotional vampires. I think people that probably are true emotional vampires wouldn't ever put themselves in the emotional vampire category.
That's probably true. Mm-hmm. There was one other website really quickly that asked a couple of other questions, but this guy was in no way qualified to ask these questions.
Yeah.
He's like a life coach, not a doctor.
I'm always suspicious of life coaches. I want to see your degree.
Yeah. So, but he had a couple of good questions. One of them was, do people suddenly drop contact with you with no explanation and refuse to communicate with you again? Then you might be an emotional vampire.
That's not me.
No.
Most of the time.
No. I feel like they aren't either. But yeah, so those are emotional vampires. And I think that it's very interesting. And I think that you got to stay away from them.
I've come to suck your energy.
Kathleen, we are recording our podcast right now in Audio Boom Studio NYC. I have to be home between 6 and 8 because that is when I've scheduled my Instacart delivery.
Oh, that's so exciting.
It's pretty great. Someone else is doing my grocery shopping because I don't have time, and also it stresses me out.
I was telling my Uber driver today about how I love Instacart when I come home from vacation.
Yeah.
You can go on vacation, get off a plane, come home, and your groceries are there waiting for you, or they're about to get there.
It's so great. So Instacart is awesome. It's an app. It's also a website. You go on. They work with your local grocery stores and also national chains. You order the groceries you need. You get your personal shopper. They gather your groceries with care. They pick out the good produce. They keep the hot stuff hot. They keep the cold stuff cold. Then you schedule a time that you want them to come. It's in as little as an hour or at a time that works for you. They come, they deliver your stuff, and you're like, oh, what a relief. So try Instacart. Do what we're doing. It just makes your life so much easier because there's so many other things that you could be doing instead of grocery shopping.
Yeah, and it's flu season. So if you're at home and you feel that flu coming on, best not be infecting other people with, your germs.
Exactly.
Instacart, all the soups and the crackers and the juices right to your house.
Get $10 off and free delivery on your first order. So to get this limited time offer, download the mobile app or go to instacart.com and enter our promo code TASTE, T-A-S-T-E, at checkout.
That's $10 off and free delivery on your first order today in the mobile app or at instacart.com. And don't forget to enter our code TASTE when you check out, unlike my mother who didn't enter our code and just ordered from Instacart.
It's like, what the hell?
I'm so mad at her. Enter our code TASTE, please. Make up for my, the order that my mom put through and she didn't give us credit. Bethany, I was reading Town and Country. I like to see what people with a lot more money than I am are interested in.
Yeah, totally.
And they're saying that it is the year of the statement coat.
Oh, explain.
Okay. Statement coats. Brightly colored, brightly patterned, lots of accoutrements.
Okay.
You know, so not your basic black puffer. The article was written by Roxanne Adamyat. Adamyat.
Adam Dufresne.
Roxanne Adamyat.
Adamyat.
Okay, so ask yourself this. Would Audrey Hepburn or Barbara Streisand wear a black puffer?
Oh, crap.
Absolutely not. So people we've seen wearing statement coats, famous people, beautiful people. Princess Diana, Mindy Kaling, Zsa Gabor.
Zsa Zsa.
Oh, shit.
Zsa Zsa Dufresne.
See, I am always going to be an outsider from the wealthy folk. Don't even know how to say Zsa Zsa Gabor. So they're saying that it doesn't have to match your outfit. Like, think of your coat as the outfit. Because when you're out in public and it's chilly outside, nobody's going to see what's underneath your coat, so who cares?
It's true. I love that.
Bold patterned coats.
Bold patterned coats. Here's what I would recommend doing.
Okay.
Get yourself a coat that you like, but then go to Michael's Crafts or Joann Fabric or something. Get yourself some fun buttons.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And then switch out the buttons.
Or go on Etsy. Mm-hmm. You can buy patches.
Yep.
You can fake fur collars. You can sew them onto your real collar.
You sure can.
You can make them detachable.
You sure can.
A couple years ago, I got a red coat from J. Crew. It was beautiful. God, I love that coat. I wore it to death. It got really dirty, and then I cleaned it and donated it. And I hope somebody else gets a second life out of it. People would stop me on the street. It was a bright red coat. And it was just before colored coats were really popular.
Yeah.
It brightened my day. It brightened people on the train's day.
I wonder how many photos you're in the background of with that coat.
Yeah. I mean, some guy even stopped me once and he was like, I just only ever see black.
I love it. I love that it's a statement coat year.
You know, this is a great time to buy secondhand, you know, like that statement coat, buy it secondhand, get a little cheaper. It's a good environmental move.
I talked a couple episodes ago about how I'm trying to wear more natural fibers.
Yeah.
And they tend to be a bit more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
But we realized that my aesthetic is sort of Ralph Lauren. Less preppy, but the more a tuxedo vest with a full skirt.
So
Ralph Lauren.
The fancy Ralph Lauren that's on the corner of 72nd and 5th.
So I went into that one.
Oh, you did? I've only ever walked by.
I went in because I had gone, because my ear doctor, my ENT is right around the corner.
Oh.
So he removed my bandage. Yeah. I went in. I absolutely did not look like I belonged there.
Did they treat you like shit?
They treated me like shit. So the first
woman.
Level. Yeah. Yes. The first level. Here's what I was wearing.
Yeah.
Black jeans.
Okay.
My black combat boots that go up to my knees, a t-shirt, a beanie, and my gray trench duster.
You definitely didn't belong.
Nope.
Not the Upper East Side aesthetic.
No. So I walk in. The first floor, if you've never been there, the first floor is a high-end coffee shop.
In the Ralph Lauren.
In the Ralph Lauren. And
can you imagine popping into Ralph Lauren to get your morning mochaccino?
There were several women who were popping in for their mochaccino. And then various pedestals with a shoe on it and just a few dresses sort of around.
Minimalist.
That's it.
Yeah.
So it's a mansion. So then you go up to the second level.
That's right. It is a mansion. I always forget that.
Yeah. And it's couture gowns, evening wear. So it's your women's store. It's your women's tuxedos. It's your gowns. It's your this is where people are walking around and bringing you things.
Yeah.
All of the men are very thin.
Yeah.
And they're all bringing you things.
I love a woman in a tuxedo.
They have the most amazing.
You
things.
Look so good in pantsuits.
I love
because
love,
you're so
love.
Tall.
I love a pantsuit. Third floor.
Yeah.
Third floor is a little bit more approachable. Those are your whimsical farm gowns,
you should coin that, farm gowns.
Your cotton dresses.
You're gonna milk the cow and a silk organza.
Yes, exactly. He loves a horse print. So those are your silk horse print scarves. They're a little bit more rustic. And then you go up to the top floor. Those are your jeans. Those are for trash like me. That's the only floor they talked to me on.
Really?
There was a woman in her 40s who clearly wasn't chic enough to be put on the first floor. They put her on the fourth.
Aww.
She was so nice.
She's so ancient.
So ancient. She was almost 40.
That old maid.
And that's where they sell their jeans, whatever. So I was looking at, but I was looking at these Ralph Lauren gowns and I was like, this is the life I want to live. So like a skirt I was looking at was $3,500.
Yeah, $3,500. Yeah.
And it was see-through with like some feathers on it.
That's crazy.
So A, I wasn't going to buy it because it had feathers on it. B, it was $3,000.
You can make it at Michael's.
Exactly.
I love going into stores like that. Well, just to get inspiration.
Beautiful. It was so beautiful. And so that's sort of living the town and country life. That's my view of it is this is what I want to end up wearing.
The articles on Town and Country Magazine on their website, when I'd want to drink my coffee and live in a different world. I love looking at gift guides where like the cheapest thing on the gift guide is like $500.
Totally. Like freaking Tiffany and Company. If it's Father's Day and like get this fun thing for your father. And it's like a large silver jack. Like, you know, playing jacks. Yeah. But it's one jack and it's like $2,000 for this small stuffing.
It's like,
stuffing stuffer.
My dad. Stuffing. My dad in the backyard in his dungarees and champion t-shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what he wants.
Or they have like, here's a replica of the Monopoly car, but it's, you know, the size of a shoe and it's $10,000. Just a simple gift.
For your tchotchkes, Hutch.
Yeah.
Can I tell you something that's been working for me lately?
Yeah. Dead ass.
I bought prenatal vitamins.
Yeah.
Because I was in Target and I didn't want to buy. I was like quickly running into Target and all they had were these giant bottles of vitamins. And I just wanted something small that I could keep in my bag. So I bought prenatal vitamins. My hair is growing like a weed. It kind of sucks because I have to get my highlights redone sooner than I would have liked because that is money.
Life is hard.
But if you want to grow your hair.
Yeah.
If you want to grow your eyelashes.
Yeah.
If you want to grow your nose hairs.
I do.
Prenatal vitamins.
Prenatal vitamins. Yeah. They're good for you. They give you all the nutrients you need.
They do.
But you don't have to have a baby.
Should we read embarrassing story?
Yes.
All right. You want to double team this one?
Let's double team this one. Is this the Carly email?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, ladies. You asked for an embarrassing story, and boy, do I have one. I majored in English in college, so I spent many nights furiously writing papers surrounded by open books. I had a habit of using anything and everything for a bookmark. Old recipes, tags from clothing, candy bar wrappers, and one time, a pack of birth control pills.
I remember triumphantly returning a stack of books to the library the night after finishing a particularly difficult paper. Little did I know that dropping those books into the book drop would ultimately lead to utter humiliation.
I got a call from the library a few hours later. A very nice girl told me she found some birth control pills lodged in a book in the book drop.
Oh,
they had my
God.
Information on them. I suddenly flashed back to using them as a bookmark. I had to go to class, but I told her I'd be there to pick them up at the end of the day.
There was no nice girl to be found by the time I got to the library. Instead, there were two dudes.
Dudes?
One of which I knew and thought that he was cute. I told them that I accidentally put my pills into the book drop and came to pick them up. And they had no idea what I was talking about.
Dudes.
Then an older employee came over and he was very suspicious of me talking about my quote unquote pills and they wanted to know what kind of pills they were.
Are you drugging? Are you a drugger? At this point, half of the library is listening. I explained that they were only birth control pills so that I can get my period. I added that part. And everyone got super awkward. One of the guys eventually found them and awkwardly handed them to me.
Oh, as I walked away, I heard the cute guy say to the other one, well, at least we know she's protected.
Jeez.
I laugh about it now, but 18-year-old Carly was quite embarrassed.
Oh, Carly.
Well, that's it. Hope you guys enjoyed my embarrassing story. Love you, ladies.
Something similar happened to me once. I just broke out in college. I broke out in this massive rash over my entire stomach, and
what?
I don't know what it was.
What?
So I went to urgent care, and the guy running the reception desk, also known as a receptionist, he was hot and foine. And
H-A-W-T.
Yeah. And he was like, you know, 22, dark hair, dark eyes, dreamboat, long lashes.
George Clooney.
So hot. So foine. And he was like, what's wrong? And I said, I have a skin disruption on across my abdomen. And he's like, what? And I said, there's some irritation along my abdomen. And he goes, you got a rash on your stomach?
Oh, shit.
I'm like, yeah.
You're like, yeah.
I was mortified.
At least it wasn't on your vagina.
No, it was not on my vagina. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
That would have been even more embarrassing.
There's an irritation on my vagina.
Stop.
Kathleen.
Vagina's my new favorite word.
What'd you learn this week, Kathleen?
Have you ever thought about if snakes fart?
No. What the hell? Where are we?
What is happening?
Do snakes fart? They don't pass gas, but they will often defecate and urinate in an attempt to scare predators off.
That's aggressive.
Which is a good tip for humans, too. Some snakes also have well-developed musk or scent glands that will open and vent out those scents when other species are around and the scents are odoriferous.
Yeah.
Noxious liquids to alarm and threaten others.
I mean, that makes sense.
I mean, I've heard before, and this is not funny. I mean, it's a little bit funny, but if you're being attacked, the best way to stop being attacked is to shit yourself or pee on yourself.
Holy cow.
Because no one's going to want to attack you.
That's true.
Because you have a gene butt full of load. It's funny to say it out loud, but it's a good technique to protect yourself if you don't have a hatchet.
When I was in the hospital, and the doctor was telling me that if I have to poo, I should do it with my mouth open to help relieve pressure on my eardrum.
Are you kidding me?
So I don't bust my eardrum back open when I poo.
It's like putting on mascara.
You have to open your mouth. And I was apparently my heart rate monitor started going faster as she was talking about pooing because I'm so uncomfortable.
Stop it. Oh my God, I love it. Bethany, what'd you learn this week?
I learned that, and I knew this already, but I learned it again. don't try to be perfect. You just have to do it.
Yeah, of course.
There are many things on the to-do list that I need to do, and I've been not doing them because I want to do it the perfect way, get the perfect product, find the perfect solution, and as a result, nothing happens.
Yeah.
So instead, you just make a decision, and you can always make a different decision, unless you're like choosing a different face. Other than that, you can always make a different decision.
95% of entrepreneurs are going to tell you, just do it.
Just start.
Don't wait for it to be perfect.
If there's something you're trying to like research to death, like just make a choice and move forward. Yeah. Like it's not going to kill you.
Mm-hmm. Fake it till you make it, baby.
Fake it till you make it. Think and open your mouth when you poo and it will relieve the pressure on your eardrum. Thank you so much for listening this week. Kathleen, where can people find you?
At Webgirl Kathleen on everything.
I am Radio Bethany on Twitter, Ms. Bethany Watson on Instagram. This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath.
God, it feels like a long time since we've done that.
I know, I think I forgot to do it last week.
If you want to follow the pod, you can do so on Twitter at Acquired Podcast.
Instagram at Acquired Taste Podcast.
On Facebook, Acquired Taste Podcast. Also our Facebook fan group. Join them. Get in on the conversation. There's some wonderful people in there.
Yes, totally. You can send us electronic mail at AcquiredTastePodcast@gmail.com.
We have a snail mail address as well. That's Acquired Taste Podcast, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey, 07030.
Also, right now I'm filling in on a morning show.
Yeah.
It's called The Dave Ryan in the Morning Show. It's out of Minneapolis. If you just go to DaveRyanShow.com, there's a listen live link at the top.
Cool. And we can listen kind of like on demand too.
Totally. Yep. They have a podcast that just repeats the show all day long that you can find where you find your podcasts, or you can listen live from 7 to 11 Eastern time.
Cool.
On DaveRyanShow.com.
Amazing.
We have a voicemail line as well.
Which is also a text line. If you want to text us, you can text us at this number as well.
Can you really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and I respond to people. Sometimes I text people who've left us voicemails.
Here is the number. 917-994-0353.
And every week we ask this of you, and so many of you are so kind. Rate, review, subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. 5 stars are the best.
Yes.
Our moms give us our weekly allowance when we hit 5 stars.
And only if we hit 5 stars.
And we appreciate all the kind things that you guys have said on iTunes, Spotify, and more.
Yes.
All right. Taste buds.
Here is what you had to say this week.
Hi, Bethany and Kathleen. This is Lucas calling from South Orange. I just needed to call to tell you that I was teaching a class this weekend, Bethany, and I kept saying weekend instead of weekend, and it seems that you're really off on me, and I think that's okay.
Hey, guys. I just listened to the podcast, and by the way, it's Mika from Eastern Pennsylvania. I messaged Dennis a couple weeks ago, and I told him that he was on my list of celebrities that I have a hall pass with, and I don't want him to think that I'm some creep who is trying to slide into his DM. Yeah, can you just tell Dennis that I'm not creepy? I swear. I love him. And I love you guys. Okay, bye.
This is Megan calling from Georgia. This message is directly towards Kathleen. Kathleen, I had to stop the podcast on episode 203 from September 26th when you were talking about, when Bethany had been talking about the poblano pepper getting her nose, and you talked about reading 50 Shades of Grey and getting that burned in your poo-poo.
I kid you not, I have done the same exact thing. And I once told my husband and he thought I was nuts.
Hi. So I started watching this show Fleabag on Amazon Prime. In season 2, there is a priest in it. And this guy in the hot priest is like, he's cute. Like, I'm like, damn. So I've been thinking about this for the past hour.
Hey ladies, this is Lindsay. Just calling to thank you so much for your episode today that I'm listening to about intimacy and things like that. It's perfect timing. Just got actually into an argument with my fiance last night as we feel like we haven't been able to talk that much. The intimacy hasn't been there because we're still with wedding planning and work and so many things going on. And I was really starting to feel down about it and felt like I was kind of alone and all of that. So just hearing you say that means the world to me.
Hi, this is Taste Bud Hannah. I'm listening to the podcast that you guys are talking about scary movies and if old ones are still scary. And I feel like the Halloween movies, the only thing that's scary is like that little tune. It's like, that's the scariest thing ever. And then, of course, there's Jaws, which is like, da-na, da-na.
Hi, Kathleen and Bethany. I just got finished listening to your episode talking about, you know, Kathleen's intimacy issue she's having with her husband. And I've been kind of going through the same thing. After listening to the episode, I was driving home and I went home and took my clothes off and effed the ish out of my husband. And it was just fantastic. So I wanted to thank you guys for talking about stuff, you know, maybe we're not so comfortable about, but it definitely inspired me to make more time for me and him because we hardly see each other with our work schedules. So thank you. I love you both so, 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 so much. Bye.